Quickly the days that are numbered pass by. So quickly the days of good judgment draws nigh. So heedless of danger we're living today. God's love and mercy they're throwing away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily don't draw. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. While He warned of the dangers that lie in their path, but they heed not His mercy and they kindle God's wrath. Pleasure of this world is their only care. For where you have pleasure, their hearts will be there. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that His kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that His kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. And those who so carelessly forgotten their God. There's a hole in a beautiful city whose builder and the ruler is God. John saw it descending from heaven when Patmos and exiles he trod. Its high massive wall is of jasper. The city itself is pure gold. And when my frail tent here is folded, mine eyes shall its glory behold. No sin is allowed in that city. No, nothing defiling or mean. No pain and no sickness can enter. No crape on the doorknob is seen. Earth's sorrows and cares are forgotten. No tempter is there to annoy. No parting words ever are spoken. There's nothing to hurt nor destroy. 'Cause in that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a harp, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting, and longing for that white city John saw coming down. No heartaches are known in that city. No tears ever moisten the eyes. There's no disappointment in heaven. No envy and strife in the sky. The saints are all sanctified holy. Deliverance, sweet harmony there. My heart is now set on that city, and someday its blessings I'll see. My loved ones are gathering yonder. My friends too are passing away. And soon I'll join their bright number and dwell in eternity day. They're safe now in glory with Jesus. Their trials and battles are past. They overcome sin and the tempter. They've reached that fair city at last. We're in that bright city, pearly white city. I have a mansion, a harp, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting and longing for that white city just coming down. Now I'm watching, waiting and longing for that white city just coming down. No sin is allowed in that city. No, nothing defiling or mean. You gotta prepare ourselves for that here. That's what we're down here for. To prepare ourselves to see if we'll be found worthy to go into that city. That's what God is preparing everybody for. There is a place we read about in God's holy word. It's built upon the mountainside, the New Jerusalem. The walls around that city are inlaid of pure jewels. 12 gates along the wall, every one a single pearl. The glory of that city would blind a human eye. More glorious still will be the face of Jesus Christ the King.
In garments pure and white as snow will gather round his throne.
And join the saints of yesterday in singing home sweet home. Inside the city walls I'm told are mansions of pure gold. Where death is banished for all time, we'll never more grow old. We'll walk beside the river with the lion and the lame. Our worries will be gone and everything will be left behind. The glory of that city would blind a human eye. More glorious still will be the face of Jesus Christ the King. And garments pure and white as snow will gather around the throne. And join the saints of yesterday in singing home sweet home. Inside the city walls I'm told are mansions of pure gold. Where that is banished for all time, we'll never more grow old. We'll walk beside the river with the lion and the lamb. Our worries will be gone and everything will be left behind. The glory of that city would blind a human eye. More glory still will be the face of Jesus Christ the King. In garments pure and white as snow will gather round the throne. And join the saints of yesterday in singing home sweet home. The glory of that city would blind a human eye. More glorious still will be the face of Jesus Christ the King. And garments pure as white as snow will gather round the throne. And join the saints of yesterday in singing home sweet home. I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord is coming back for me. I know the Lord is coming back for me. If I bend my life in prayer, I will meet him in the air. I know the Lord is coming back for me. I know the Lord is coming back for me. I know the Lord is coming back for me. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord is coming back for me. We meet in a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. His truth and God's word he had given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. In heaven no drooping, no paining. No wishing for elsewhere to be. God's light is forever there shining. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Pure waters of life that are flowing, and all who will drink may be free. Rare jewels of splendor are glowing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. The angels so sweetly are singing up there by the beautiful sea. Sweet chords from their gold harps are ringing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. In the meantime, we've got to prepare ourselves for that. That's what we're down here for, to prepare ourselves.
And it doesn't just happen.
It's made for the pure and the free. You're free from all that religious garbage, these cults. And you're pure. Pure means you do whatever you can to get rid of all your bad habits. That's what the pure and the free, that place is for. Mm-hmm. You're not just going to float in there, believe you me. You're going to have a life that is worthy. That's why we're putting so much effort into to do what's right. That's why we fast. It's not a very attractive journey that you and I are on, but mm-hmm. you got the peace of God, eh?
Right.
You got a good future. You got a lot to look forward to. But it doesn't come automatically. It's not going to be, heaven is not going to be handed to you in a silver platter, believe you or me. You got to have to, yeah, it's free, but you still have to crucify the flesh. You still have to do your part. It's made for the pure and the free. From these tugs. You gotta work your way out of these tugs, out of these religions. And in order to do that, it's gonna cost them. Cost us a lot, eh? We had to lose everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I was not a happy camper in the first leg of the journey.
We went the Bible's way.
That's why we're doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You see it in the scripture? Your level best to follow through with it. And sometimes you just gotta fast because you can't make it. And because it's a tough journey for the flesh. The natural man, he don't want to be crucified. But it's worth a trip.
Mm-hmm.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He had loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Glory, glory,
hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Glory, glory,
hallelujah. His truth is marching on. You may wonder why we're always singing that song, His truth is marching on, just to kind of keep ourselves informed that you can't stay put, you know. There's no such a thing as staying put. Because the truth keeps changing. It keeps moving on. That's why we keep reminding ourselves that we have to move on with it. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto. See, it's no more what it was. The soul went forth to sow. And then that woman came in to mix that meal. See, that past era. Then the kingdom of heaven be likened unto man casting a net. That's the past era. That Brother Brennan's ministry. It was in the 60s when that man cast that net. Then it's that scribe that went forth. That's the ministry of Brother Jackson. Then shall the kingdom be likened unto this. Then shall the kingdom be likened unto this. And then who is then dead? Who is then? Then. That wise and faithful servant whom his Lord had given the rights and the privilege to deliver meat in due season. That's what you and I are doing now. That's the den. That's why you have to move on. You have to move on with God. He's always moving ahead. Mm-hmm. From eternity past, He always moved ahead.
That is the kingdom of heaven. For every church period of time is that part of that kingdom of heaven that's available to for humanity.
Back in the days of Martin Luther, it was the kingdom of what that man that, and I think it was man who went looking for
treasure.
That,
he found
for
a
that
treasure.
That's mm-hmm. what happened in the 1500s. That man found a treasure.
Yeah.
Just to live by faith. And believe you me, you got an adversary. If you want to follow this journey, you're going to have these antichrists on your tail 24/7. That's the same as what with Martin Luther. As soon as he was established and he brought forth to just to live by faith, these antichrists, they were chopping at the bit And he couldn't wait to get in it. He'd be fused. It's just the nature of Satan. It's in his DNA. And then he finds these antichrists. He finds these lightweights that just want to make a name for himself. And here comes along Yaakov Hutter with a diabolical, satanic plan community living from now on.
And that's why, you know, you can, if you take all that, the parables and the church ages and the seals and everything that has been restored. That's why when you look at the scribe, that was the ministry of the scribe, to bring out of God's storehouse things old and new. And that those are the things that we were taught under the ministry of Brother Jackson. You know, those parables about who was that man, that parable that talks about this man who found a treasure. It pertained to the hour of Martin Luther.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kingdom, what the kingdom of heaven was like on in that era of time, you know, coming out of the dark ages. He found that treasure that Joshua lived by faith. And then he just bought that piece of land, and that's what he pursued. That Joshua lived by faith. See, that's all part of that ministry that God had here in the end time.
They kept marching on. Mm-hmm. And there are thousands upon thousands of people throughout the Middle East, throughout the European world, there got delivered from that diabolical, satanic Roman Catholic hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't praise God enough. It was a glorious time to be alive. All of a sudden, they're free. And here Satan comes along and yanks it back into that garbage again. That Yaakov Hutter and that Peter Riedemann and a sleazy, slimy, righteous way, like, oh, if you look at it in the natural, they were a lot more righteous than Martin Luther ever thought of being. They say Martin Luther was smoking a cigar, and Martin Luther was going to the bar for a beer, and different things like that. I don't think it's true, but that's what they say. But see, here he comes, Zwingli, a very righteous man, and here comes Martin, Yaakov Hutter. Oh, now these people are so righteous, so self-righteous. Oh, if you really love your brother, you've got to bring him in, and you got to prove it by living in community with him. And oh, now that filth's been going on for 500 years, and they're thinking they're doing God a service. And it's done nothing. It's been brought on by Satan. And then Satan, he comes on, and he brings these lightweights. He brings these people that are easily seduced, wanting to make a name for themselves, and then on they go. For 500 years, they've been feeding off that Antichrist spirit. And all of a sudden, I begin to see some things here lately. And I never used to see it like that. But that them servants that they have, I told them from the get-go, take them out and burn them up. And I didn't even know sometimes, I didn't even know what I was saying. Because there's a lot of truth in them. Even some of them, there might be 100% the truth. But see, it's what they're not saying. They're not going to tell them what you and I are telling them. And they're not worth the patience written down. You don't tell people, the whole council of God, where you are, time, what's been going on, and you can only find out what's been going on to the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, and we're just putting on the finishing touches here. We're just holding on to the fort, and we're just saying it exactly the way they said it. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm.
What's that scripture? Must it be found worthy to go in there? See, we're down here to prepare ourselves for that. That millennium. We're talking mostly about these cults, you know, and then these Hutterites too. There's a lot of good people in that Hutterite. They've been kept pretty clean, you know, from all the things that's all around the world, the filth and the drugs, and it's slowly starting to seep into the colonies too. But they're relatively reasonably clean people. But see, the Lord brought us out of there because He wanted us to set as an example and a standard and to show them where it's at. And these leaders that they have, these Leonards and these Joe from Cyprus and these Tugs and these Arnolds, their thing is not built on truth. Their whole thing is built on these antichrists, that Yaakov Hutter stuff, and they're nothing but antagonists. They're nothing but Yeah, they put on a very religious cloak and a form of godliness. It took me a long time to be able to differentiate that thing, to see what I'm seeing now. But I've done some studying, and I watched, it says, by the fruits you shall know them. What's their fruit? They hate the truth. And that's how you can test the person. You give them the truth. Something you know is 100% truth, and then you tell it to them. And if there's something there, and that human being that he has a desire towards truth, he'll grab a hold of it. Mm-hmm. But if he's not, he hates truth, and then you can build something on somebody that hates truth. It's our whole makeup. The reason we are where we are today, we're following the truth. We heard the truth, and then we just embrace ourselves, and we set our faces aflint to continue on in the truth. It's all we have. All we have is truth, and we're trying our level best to prepare ourselves for that millennial reign. That's what it did here. And Jesus was asked by these scribes and these Pharisees and these tough. They were trying to catch him, trap him, just like the Democrats are today. They're trying to trap him. And then he went to explain, and Jesus answered and said unto them, that's in Luke 20, verse 34. And Jesus answered and said unto them, the children of this world marry. They were trying to catch him with something about marriage, whose husband it should be. You can go back and read it, what it is. And the children of this world marry. Here they marry and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels, and are children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed you that by the bush, when he called the Lord God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. But the bottom line is, those that will be found worthy. He says, but they which shall be accounted worthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go to the other translation. But those who are regarded as worthy to share in that age and in the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Veli aber würdig sein. See, you got to be worthy. Veli aber würdig sein, werden jene Welt zu erlangen und die Auferstehung von den Toten. Die werden weder freien noch sich freien lassen. What we're trying to do here today, we're trying to tell people that you have to have a life, a conduct, so that first of all you go into that rapture. There's only people that are ready to go in that rapture. That's what we're trying to lay out here on a day-to-day basis. That's why we try so hard to keep ourselves in shape, to keep our life in line from all the things of this flesh, and that's why we fast, that's why we spend a lot of time crucifying the flesh, and doing whatever it takes to, so that someday we'll be inheritors of that glorious, being that glorious rapture, then that's what it talks about, the resurrection, and it's only these people that are going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. But the mortals, the sheep people, they're not going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The sheep people, they're just people, ordinary people down here as time goes on, and the separation of the goats and the sheep, that's just up the road here in our generation. And they're going to go into the millennium, and in the millennium, they're mortals, but they got eternal life. They're mortals. They'd be tested and tried and true. They're down here. They were good to the. They were just doing good deeds. It's like Cain would have done if he would have listened to the Lord. If you do good, you'll be accepted. That's the kind of people that's going to go in to repopulate the millennium. And they're going to have children. They're going to marry, and they're going to get married. And see that the program what we're on right now. We're in the closing days time just before that rapture sets in. And then and the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's what we're all about. And what we're trying to do, we're trying to prepare a people to go into that millennial reign, to go into that, to see if they'll be found worthy to to even go to the merchant of the land, because at the end of the day, the king comes in and is checking everybody through, see what kind of makeup you have, what kind of a person you are. What you prepared yourself. That's all we're doing. We're putting out these things here on a day-to-day basis, so whosoever will, let them come and partake of the waters of life freely. And then at the end of that day, end of the day before the rapture comes in, the king comes in, and what he does, he checks through the gate, see if your life lines up. That's all he's doing. He's just going to come in and he's checking through. Let's see what we're doing here now. We're preparing ourselves, because up the road here, there's been two groups in these Hutterite king, and we know that Leonard's group is not built on truth. You know, that kingdom of heaven is built on righteousness and on truth. They got no righteousness, because I was in their kangaroo courts and they dealt, I'm simply for telling them the truth. What did they do? You got till sundown to get out of here. Is that righteousness? These kinds of people, they will not be in that millennial reign. I get worked up over the, but I don't need to get worked up, because what they're doing, they're just preparing themselves a journey out to hell and that, because there is absolutely no way when Jesus comes and he rules with righteousness, right? Yesterday, he's going to rule with righteousness and he's going to rule with truth. And he's testing these people down here, how they operate. It's because they're preachers, or so-called preachers, or whatever they are. I don't know what you would call them, but whatever. They're not operating with righteousness, and they're not operating with truth, because I presented them with the truth and they rejected the truth. So they have no truth. They have no part in that millennial reign when Jesus comes. He will rule with righteousness and with justice, and he's going to be up front with everything. Well, these people, these leaders and these other, I call them these Leonard and these Joe from Cyprus and these Arnold, they're not dealing justly and righteously. So they're not even going to be in that ruling and reign with Jesus Christ. God's looking for people that he can work with, that have a desire and a passion and a hunger for truth and for righteousness, so that he can take them over into the millennial land to rule and reign with him. And that millennial, right? That's what it's all about here now. We have here no continuing city. This is not our home. We're just passing through here to test us to see if we will be found worthy to go into that next phase. And here, there's coming up a next phase. Before we go out of here, there'll be another group, but that group coming up. It'll be built on truth. It'll be built on righteousness. It won't be like these crooked kangaroo court that these Hutterites have. If you're one of their kin, next to kin, they reach for a different set of scale, and if there's somebody there they don't much care for, they use a different scale. I've been through all that, and we just stuck with the truth, and we just, because we want to be found worthy to go into that millennial reign, to go into the ruling with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. That's why we have here no continuing city. That's why the kingdom of God moves on. It's not stationary like these other I call. They're stationary. They just set what happened 500 years ago. They trust these antichrists, and this Jakob Buddha, he's their role model. And this Peter Riedemann, that's their role model. That's their foundation. Well, our foundation goes right back, way back beyond that, back where God had himself a council. And we're just trying to bring it out here as simple as we know how. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this another day of life, for the many things you do for us, Lord. Most of all, Lord, that you've opened up your word to us, Lord. And you've allowed us to see the hour we're living in. There's so many things, Lord, we can be grateful for. And these closing days of time and all the deception, Lord, that's out there, you've given us a crystal clear vision, and you've prepared us for the day and hour we're now living in. When we look back and we take inventory of ourselves, we were not happy with the way things were going, and got us to go on a search, Lord, and seek our own salvation with fear and trembling. And here we are, Lord, in the closing day of the time. We see, when you look back, we see how you led and guided us. You brought us to the ministry of Brother Brenham, and brought it back to the ministry of the hour, Lord. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto a man casting a net. And you've given up the understanding of these scriptures, what's been going on in the last 2,000 years under the grace age, how you'll be calling out the bride, and you have your principles and your precept and your way of doing things, Lord. And this is the revelation that God gave to Jesus, the gift to the angel, the gift to that messenger down here in these closing days of time. We see all that, Lord, and we're so grateful. That's all we can do, Lord, is be grateful. And the only way we can express our gratitude, Lord, is tell you, Lord, here we are. Use us for your honor and for your glory. That's the only way we can express ourselves, Lord. We just pray to continue leading and guide us by your Spirit and help us to be prepared and ready for that day when you come and take us all out of here, Lord. We just pray you gift that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just a simple thought, just a moral code, and thinking you can live high in the hog, having fun in the sun, and hate the truth, hate reality, hate God, and think he's going to, when you die, you think you got a ticket to glory. No, that's why we're down here. That's why we have to prepare ourselves. And that's why it's, hey, those that will be found worthy. You got to read between the lines. In order to be found worthy, you have to have a lifestyle that's compatible with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Lord dealt with me, you know, way back in the early, early 90s, and when he woke me up saying, I'm coming soon, and it really put me on a search, and then he let me know, seek the Lord while he may be found. I didn't know the Lord on an intimate basis. All I know was a Hutterite Lord and a Hutterite God, and then the Lord began to deal with me personally, and then he let me see the corruption in that system. And then as time went on, today I can truly say that system was, the foundation of that system was Antichrist. It was a bunch of Antichrist. It was the foundation of it is Satan. The foundation of that other thing is not built on the structure of Martin Luther, to just to live by faith. And it's not built on the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. It's built on that ideology that Jacob Hutter brought on today, and now you see the results. You see the fruit of it all. It's not got no fruit. Yeah, on the outside, it's a form of godliness, but they cover it up with a dress code and all that stuff and try to be righteous, but underneath it stinks to high heaven. Because it's not built on the foundation of Jesus Christ and the apostles and the prophet Jesus Christ being chief cornerstone. It's built on, like, it's built on an ideology. And how you can tell these cults, I was thinking about that for the last few days, how you can tell these cults, Satan, he hates women, right? Because he uses women and he demoralizes women, and if push comes to shove, he hates them with a passion. And what do these cults do? The first thing they do, they put a head covering on a woman. And then they found a little scripture back in Corinthians where Paul told them to put something on their head. But they don't know why Paul said it. They don't go and study it out because they're too stupid and too lazy to go figure out where this head covering come from. Because when back in the garden, when God found Adam and Eve and wrong side of the fence doing the wrong thing. He only covered their sex organ because that's the very thing that they sinned with. He didn't cover their head. He didn't put nothing on their head because he said, your hair has been given to you as a covering. And here are these religionists and these antichrists, what they do, they dress their women up with a head covering. And if you want to go to the real extreme with these head coverings, you just go over to Iran and you see these Muslim women, they got their women, that the only thing that's looking out is your eyes. They got a slip in their head covering, and all you see that Sharia law is a head covering. That ought to make a person step back and see what's going on here. And then Muslim stuff, all that is a diabolical satanic religion. And then you go to the Catholics, and they got their nuns covered with a head covering. And then you go to the Hutterite, they got their women having a head covering. And then they go to the Mennonites and to the Hulda Manor, they got their women with some kind of a head covering. And all it does is tells you that it's a cult. That's all it is. It's a cult that Satan has managed to take out from the scripture back in the Corinthians when Paul was telling these women to put something on their head when they come to church or Because what happened back then, the society had been so down, so low down, what they did, the women did, what they were foreign, they were looking up to this goddess Diana, this goddess, and that goddess was an ungodly thing. And what she did, she shaved her hair off on her head. And then these women, when Paul came into the Corinthians, these women, they got converted to Christianity, and so they'd come to church with their shaved off head. And Paul, it was a sore in his eye, and he told them, put something on your head until your hair has covered out. And at the end of the day, he said, we have no argument with such a thing. Your hair has been given to you as a covering. Now that's how you can tell these. See, that's what the devil does. He takes a little bit of scripture and he makes a religion out of it. Now all these Hutterite women and these Amish women and these Huldeman women, they got something on their head because the devil does that. He takes it out of context, and now Paul was saying, just put something on your head, on your bald, shaved off head. But you come in here until your hair, and let your hair grow out, and then once your hair is grown out, then you can take that thing that you got on your head, because now your hair has been given to you as a cover. You can go back and read it. I read it. You got to read a few translations. Then he said, we have no argument with such a thing. Your hair has been given to you as a covering. Now that's like I see. That's how you can tell if something is a cult. That they get their women to wear a hat covering. Well, here in our thing, you don't need a hat covering. In this here group, the women don't have to wear a hat because they got their hair. They kind of forbid to cut your hair, and we appreciate women with long hair. What good is your nice long hair if you got it covered up with some kind of a head covering? Here you don't need a head covering. And the true church of the living God, and you and I, we're the true church of the living God, because the proof is in the pudding. Because Jesus said that these signs shall follow them that believe. You and I, we're believers, and these signs shall follow them that believe. And my name they'll cast out devils, and my name they'll heal the sick. That's what we do here. When somebody comes through, we cast that devil out. We've done it over and over again. And when we're sick, we pray, and that cancer leaves, and things like that. That's how we can prove that you're the church of the living God. But these cults out there, they people get cancer, and they bury them with cancer, and they're simply because they're not the church of the living God. That's what the church of the living God will do. Like I say, the proof is in the pudding. They can't do that. They can only pretend. They only got a form of God, but they don't have the power thereof. It's just deception. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's a form of godliness. Like when you will read it in Matthew, Peter said, Matthew 19:27, then answered Peter and said unto him, and to Jesus, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have thereof? So see, that's a condition. We have forsaken all and followed you. So that's a requirement, you know, if you want to make it into that age, in that immortality. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you that you which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. See, that's talking about the millennium, mm-hmm. when they will be sitting on thrones, the disciples and all those that have forsaken all to follow Jesus, they will also come up in that number somewhere as ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter said here, we have forsaken it all, and that's why when you will take it into the church ages, like every church age had to overcome something mm-hmm. in order to meet those requirements. And here in the Laodicea church age, you had to overcome the Laodicea spirit. See, in the land here we're living, in the age we're living now, the Laodicea church spirit has took over. And people have a form of Christianity, but behind it there's really no testimony of how they've forsaken it all to follow Jesus. It's just they've made some kind of a church, and people just go there every Sunday, and then they follow whatever they want for the rest of the week, and then it's just some kind of a program. That's the part of the Laodicea church spirit. They're rich, in need of nothing, but they don't know they're naked, blind, and wretched, and poor. These things, they're spiritually actually naked. They're spiritually not even, they have no spiritual understanding of what God has done in this church hour. And you see, those are the things you have to overcome. When you will look at it in the sense of the spirit that has taken over this age, you can't see. That's why you have to rise above it, like fasting and praying, in order to see with the reality of what God wants and requires. Like if you would look at it as from the Laodicea standpoint, you'll say, oh, I've got everything, I'm good. But when you look at it from the viewpoint of how God looks at it, it looks at it as foolish. They're really naked, wretched, and blind. That's why you have to really separate yourself from the things of this world and forsake it all and follow Jesus in order to see reality. You can't see reality from what you're seeing out here today, because that is part of the deception. How God lets these things happen in order to see who will be an overcomer, who will be found worthy to enter into that age when that Jesus comes to rule and reign, that they will be found worthy to assist Jesus with that.
Amen to that. And we're trying to set a standard. There's two splits already in that 100 nations. There's another one coming. But this one will be built on righteousness. This one will be built on truth. And we're just trying to spearhead that. It'll be built on truth for people that have a desire and a passion that they want truth. And that thing will go right over on into the millennium, because it's for the people that be tested and tried and proven. We had people come through here. They thought it's a pretty good way to live and all that, but they could come here trying to tell us that the earth is flat. Well, that's not being truthful. The truth of the matter is the earth is not flat. And we got a lot of these flat earthers now. All of a sudden they come out with an ideology. It comes right from Satan and from these antichrists that the earth is flat, and you can't convince them otherwise. So this one guy, he come through here, and all he was wanting to convert us to his flat earth theory. And, well, he didn't last very long, because the Lord gave you a dream. He was coming after you with a knife, and you went and faced him right out. He says, you're not going to bring that spirit in here. And you called him out, you know. You have no room here for this kind of a theory, because our whole thing is built on the Word of God, on the Word of truth. And the truth of the fact of the matter, the earth is round, it's not flat. And you come in here with the theory that the earth is flat, well, there's no room for you here. Exactly. You can go out, you'll find some groups that believe the earth is flat. You can go in fellowship with them, but you're not going to bring the truth. The truth is flat here. You're not going to bring it in here. Neither will we put up with somebody that does the vaping. There's people, they vape. All they do is vape all day. Well, this here group, there is no vapers, and there's no druggies in this here group. I know about a guy that the colonies, they had this guy. All he was doing was sitting down vaping. He didn't go to work. He was just sitting down. So they had to get the police in to remove him. And what does he do? He goes down to one of these colonies, or so-called colonies. The guy lives in somehow. And he gets the place down there, lives in a trailer there. All he does is vape all day and do the drug thing. Well, there's no, not going to be no room for a vapor here in this little group. And then neither will there be any vapors in heaven and that millennial reign, because God, Jesus is going to come down and he's going to separate these people. I don't know how people can live with themselves supporting just a lazy bum that wants to vape all day. I had to put my foot down on my own son. My son, he came and he stayed with me for a while, and then for a while he came to church and he looked like interested, and then after a while I found out he's partying all day and he could stay at my place for free, and then I had a talk with him, and then I had another talk with him, and then the third time I said, you're going to have to make up your mind. You either want to live for the Lord, or if you don't want, you can go out there at your own expenses and do whatever you want. And then, he thought he's got the rights to just stay in my home for free and do his party thing. Well, I had to put my foot down. And then one day he went to Brendan, and he came back around 11 o'clock. He called me up. Well, I'm coming in. I'll be staying overnight. I said, no, you're not staying overnight here. You can go out and sleep on a snowbank if you want, but you're not staying here because with your lifestyle, I'm not going to be responsible. What do you do with your lifestyle? And I wouldn't let him in because he thought he could have a party. They've hired the hog and just come and stay overnight, and I'll wine him and dine him and feed him. Well, I did it, tolerated for a bit, but then I just put my foot down to my own son. You're out of here. You could go sleep in a snowdrift somewhere if you want to live that kind of a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. This is for people that want to live upright and justly. And I don't know how these people can tolerate these kind of people that all they want to do is sit around and vape all day. Well, that's not going to be a kind of person like that. It's not going to go into that millennium, and they're not going to be this final group here. There's coming a group of people that's going to be upright and just. And God's gonna separate it. That's why we have to stand so firm. But then we had another guy come in here that didn't want to change his ways, wanted to keep his old ways. Well, the Lord won't tolerate that kind of stuff here in this little group. Mm-hmm. We just give for people that really want to live and serve the Lord and live by the Word of God, live in truth. And one of the first things we want people to believe the truth that's been said. As a standard here in the closing day of the time, we believe God sent a prophet. And if you don't bring that with you, you're not welcome here. You can come here. We'll tolerate you for a while. But if you don't have a desire and a passion to live upright before the Lord and truth and in righteousness and holiness, then we don't much care for it, because that's what you and I have to do. We have to set an example. We have to live right and upright and just before the Lord, and we're not going to tolerate nothing else. We got the standard of truth. We got to believe that God sent the prophet, that this is the foundation of truth, and then you got to operate with righteousness and do things that are right and upright. And that's what you and I are trying to do. And if we can't follow through with it, then we have to go on a fast for a week or two, or sometimes even for a whole month. And then you clear up your head a little bit, and you take another run at it. But you can't just live high in the hog and expect to be part of the kingdom of God and to expect to go into that heavenly abode. There's something you have to do. You've got to mortify the flesh. It's the only enemy you really have at the end of the world, the flesh and the devil. That's the three enemies that you and I have, and that's the ones we're fighting with on a daily basis. That's why the Lord puts it on fast from time to time, so that we can overcome the desires and the passions of the flesh. And that's the kind of people that's going to be in that third group. People that are holy and upright, and they believe the truth. It's the fountain of truth. And we have the truth here. And all you got to do to come on board, you got to believe the truth. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, and we give you thanks, Lord, for everything you've allowed us to see, Lord. And we're just helping people to paint a picture in the minds of people. Your great counsel that you have there, that Paul writes about in Ephesians 1, Lord, how you made a great plan, Lord. But in that great plan, you want to test all your creation to see if they're going to be found worthy to enter into that millennium reign, to help with the Lord Jesus Christ. And even as mortal, that they will be found worthy to go in the millennium and repopulate the earth. So it will be people that will have to be tested, Lord, in that age of 6,000 years that you had for man, And those that will be found worthy will enter in, and those sheep and the goats will be separated. Those that the wicked will be destroyed, and those sheep people will go into that millennium period, Lord. And it's going to be a glorious era where righteousness will reign, Lord, and justice, Lord, will prevail, and everything will be done with righteousness and justice. And we just look forward to that day, Lord, where all evil will be cleansed and taken out of the equation, Lord. And then once again, when that kingdom will be ready to be handed back to our Heavenly Father, Lord. So we give you thanks for these things. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.